speakerphone.
Oh, should I put it on speaker? Oh, I didn't put it on speaker.
Here, put it.
Right, I should put it on speaker.
Yeah, you should, I think.
Joy. Okay, is that better?
All right. Okay. Let's open to Colossians chapter 1, book of Colossians. We're going to go to a really familiar verse, a verse that I share with you often. And it's a verse that when I first saw it, really had an impact on my life. It kind of rocked me. Put together some things regarding who I am and prayer. I mean, it's what it did for me. I think that it's an understatement to say that those of us who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ have a lot to be thankful for. And what we're going to look at in the Word today are a couple of aspects, or a couple other aspects, because we have been looking at some of these things, regarding our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at the word advocate and intercessor. And it is amazing, just incredible, how well you and I, as born-again ones, are covered. That's the word that comes to my mind, how we're just covered because of what Jesus Christ accomplished for us and all that we have. We have so much more to look forward to. And we live in a world now where there's corruption, where there's a number of things, you know, that we have to deal with. But we're not left to our own devices. We're not left on our own. And that is so, so important to understand and to realize and just to accept what it is that God's given us and what he can do. It's really amazing. And I wanted to, before we look at that, I wanted to start with this. In Colossians chapter 1. And it's in verse 12. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us adequate, or adequate doesn't kind of fall short the way we use it, but he has made us able. He's made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power or the authority of darkness, that exercise power, that authority of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption, and it should just simply read, even the forgiveness of sins. And that word forgiveness is nothing owed, totally released. And all of that was done by Christ, by his sacrifice for us. We stand forgiven because of the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? And we have been made able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And oh, what an inheritance we have. You know, when you just read the little glimpses that God gives us, you know, try and picture some of that stuff. And that's just like, just pulling the curtain back. Whoa! You know, it's going to take all eternity for him to demonstrate his kindness to us. Isn't that something? It's just amazing what he has done. In light of that, in light of who we are, we've been transferred into the kingdom of his dear Son. I want to look at some of these other things regarding advocate and intercessor. I want you to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. We're going to look at some familiar verses. The word that is translated advocate in 1 John, which is where we're going to wind up here, is translated comforter here. And it's a word that means, its literal meaning is to call to one side. That's what it literally means. But it's used of giving aid, of giving help in a situation. I didn't write down all of these things, but it's also used in a legal context of counsel for the defense. Okay, that help or that counsel, that aid that defense counsel gives. I hope you never have the pleasure of being in a court and needing a defense counsel. But I'll tell you what, if you ever do find yourself in that situation, it's a real aid. You know, it really is. And so that's sort of its meaning. It's a help. It's an aid. And in John chapter 14, verse 16, that's where we're going to start. Oh boy, let's start in verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. When you read in this context here, and this is near the end. He's with his men shortly before he's going to give himself over. And here we read, if you love me, keep my commandments. And those commandments really are to love. To love and to love one another. To love one another as I, Jesus Christ, have loved you. It's really something. Then it says, and I will pray or request the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Okay. Now this another is a word. It's translated from a word, from the Greek word allos, A-L-L-O-S. And what it means is, and how it's used in the word is, it's another of the same kind. Okay. There's another word that's translated another, and there's forms of it. It's the word heteros, and it means another of a different kind. Okay, and it's sort of important to understand. There's some great examples, but one that really sticks out is in Galatians chapter 1, and it's in verses 6 and 7. And he says, in verse 6 says, I marvel that you are so soon removed unto another gospel. Okay. Then the next verse opens which is not another. Huh? I marvel you're so soon removed to another gospel, which is not another. Well, those are those words, see. You're removed to another of a different kind. See, which is not another allos. It's not the same. See, that's right. And when you read on further in Galatians, you see that that was a gospel of the flesh, is what they were being led away to. A gospel of works, rather than what Jesus Christ had accomplished. But the comforter spoken of here is the same kind. The same kind as who? Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? He had been their aid. He had been their teacher. He stood. He taught. See, he did all of those things. I'm going to send you another of the same kind, is what he's saying here. Isn't that neat? And it tells you an awful lot about that comforter. Verse 26. Let's use again. But the comforter, which is Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Boy, there's a help. There's an aid. Isn't that something? Let's turn to John 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter, verse 26, is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he or it, it should read it, it shall testify, bear witness of who? Of me. This Holy Spirit was a comforter of the same kind as Jesus Christ had been. And this comforter would be the Spirit of truth, and it would testify of, bear witness to who?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. It's beautiful. Let's look at one more here in John. John chapter 16. Ah, this is great. I love this. You know, these guys were not really understanding. They wanted to know where he was going. And in verse 6 it says, but because I have said these things unto you, sorrow, grief, or heaviness hath filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I'm telling you the truth. It is expedient, or it's better. It's profitable. It's for your good if I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will what? I will send him unto you. You know, isn't that something? When you read in Acts 2, when Holy Spirit was poured out, it was Jesus Christ that gave it. That's what it says in Acts. It was Jesus Christ, which is what he's saying here. That Holy Spirit was a comforter, it would give aid, and it was another of the same kind, like Jesus Christ had been to these men. Isn't that something? With that in mind, let's go to 1 John chapter 2. This is great. Chapter 2, verse 1. It says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Isn't that something? Jesus Christ, the righteous one. You and I, and as a matter of fact, we're going to look at a couple of verses in a few minutes along these lines, but you and I were delivered because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ from the sin and the death. That's what it says. Romans 5. Romans 6 declares that our old man was crucified with him, and that we are no longer slaves of, servants of, the sin. We've been delivered from that. We've been made righteous by the sacrifice of the righteous one, Jesus Christ. It's pretty neat. What this is dealing with is if we sin, we now have an option. Prior to the new birth, prior to believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, We could do nothing but. We were dead to it. All works that were produced were works that emanated from the flesh. See? Isn't that something? But we have that life of God born within. See? And we can walk with God. We can live our righteousness. We can bear the fruits of that righteousness that Jesus Christ won for us. See? But the forgiveness that we have is so complete. Is so complete that we are absolutely covered by Jesus Christ. See? And this isn't saying, you know, since you're forgiven, sin. No, because that would be to go live as if you were in bondage again. See? We're free. We can walk with and for God. We can live our righteousness. But if we sin, if we fall short, we have a what?
Advocate.
We have an advocate with the Father. Isn't that something? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, an advocate with the Father who gives aid. Helps. See? He stands as the righteous one. See? He has the right to be an advocate for each one of us because of his righteousness. Isn't that awesome? And we are in him. We are covered. See? It's so beautiful. And he is the atonement for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. It's just remarkable. You know, John 3, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, here's your whosoever, his sacrifice paid for the sins for the whole world. Not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. We read something similar in the Gospel of John, didn't we? If you love me, what? Keep my commandments. He that says I know him and keeps not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keeps his word in him, verily, is the love of God perfected. It matures. Hereby we know that we are in him. Isn't that beautiful? And really, it really boils down to loving God and loving your brothers. That's right. And as you read on in 1 John, we're not going to take the time to do it, but those that don't love, those that don't love their brother, they don't know God. They don't get it. See? They don't really get it. Because God is what? He's love. That's right. See? It's really remarkable, but Jesus Christ, our Lord, is an advocate for us before the Father. It's pretty awesome. Now I want you to go to Romans chapter 8. And we're just going to read a few more verses. What we're going to see here is that Spirit of God, that another comforter, that comforter of the same kind never flows at cross purposes with God or our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? I'm not saying that things that people say and people do don't attach flow at cross purposes, but not the Spirit of God. Sometimes people attribute things to the Spirit of God. But that's not true, because it will never flow across purposes with God, his word, our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? Romans chapter 8. And we're going to look at verse 34. Oh, you know what? This is a hard chapter to pick. Let's start in verse 29, all right? Let's get a running start. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. This is what God did in the giving of his Son, that he, Christ, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified or made righteous. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You know, and this is where we want to get our hearts and our eyes, because we do at times have things against us, don't we? Absolutely. But what the Word is revealing and what God our Father is saying, because of Christ, God is for us. Who? What does it matter? We go straight to the top. See? And that's how we approach these things. And the adversary many times will make the things that are against us seem insurmountable. And what God is saying, look, if God be for you, does anything else really matter? And the answer, of course, is no. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things with him, with Christ? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? God that made you righteous? That doesn't make sense. Who is he that condemns? Christ that died? Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? Isn't that something? Jesus Christ may, and this word intercession, it basically means on behalf of. On behalf of. Jesus Christ, our Lord, does that for us. Isn't that something? We'll read a little bit more about that in just a minute. But I want to back up a little. And we are going to read. Let's pick it up in verse 16 of Romans 8. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God. Then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be, or since it is, that we suffer or endure with him, that we may be also glorified together. I just want to stop for a minute. We suffer or we endure. What's the next word? With. Always remember that. It's with our Lord Jesus Christ. He is in this with us. He's our Lord. He's in this with us. That we may be also what? Glorified. Isn't that something? You know, we read scriptures and we consider scriptures that talk about our being with him. Returning with him. Forever with him. For eternity with him. Now that we're in Christ, we also endure what? Isn't that something? What God has given us, what we have, what we have to be thankful for, the access that we have, the help we have, the aid we have. You know, and we've all seen it, how God will work in saints, you know. You need something or you're hurting and then somebody shows up and it's like, Jesus, they say what you need or do what you need, or one of your kids. Right? Have you ever been nailed by one of your kids? It's like, oh, wow. You know, but it's so beautiful. It's just so amazing what we have. But anyway, Then you got, beginning in verse 18, there's a parenthesis or a parenthetical phrase further explaining some of these things, the being subject to hope and what we have to look forward to, our being glorified together and what that hope is and how things are, you know, the earth, the creation is waiting for these things. But I want to get down to verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmity. It should be singular. Our infirmity. And here's the infirmity. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession. It should read intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. Or intercession as is necessary with groanings which cannot be uttered. See? That Spirit, that prayer, speaking in tongues, speaking by the Spirit, is also intercession on behalf of the saints. Isn't that something? It's according, it's always according to the will of God. See? It's something. That's what that Spirit does. And it doesn't work across purposes with our Lord Jesus Christ, who makes intercession on our behalf before who? The Father. See? I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 7. And we're going to close here, I think. Well, we might read one more. Hebrews chapter 7. Yeah. Verse 24 says of Hebrews 7, but this man, because he continues ever or forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. That's something, to make intercession for them. In Revelation, I think it's chapter 12, but it talks about, well, let's turn there. Then we're going to come right back to Hebrews. So keep your finger here. Revelation 12. Ah, here it is. Verse 10. It says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power or the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Isn't that something? See, but we have a righteous Lord that lives to intercede on our behalf before our God. Isn't that something? Let's go to Hebrews 9 and close there. You know, this is sort of a cursory look at some of these things, but it's just so great to see, you know, how well we are covered, what we have in Christ. And to think about these things. In Hebrews chapter 9, and it's in verse, this is 24. It says, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures or the copy or the antitype of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Isn't that something? To appear in the presence of God for us. We are in Christ. I have this mind picture when I read this verse. But it's like Jesus Christ is standing in God's presence and he's got his arms back like this and we're right behind him. And he stands in our stead before our Heavenly Father. And so our Father sees him, the righteous one. See that? And we're covered. Isn't that awesome? See, that's what it is. That's what it is. So we're covered. We've got Holy Spirit. We've got a Lord. You know, he's not just sitting at God's right hand. Okay? That's a figure meaning it was all accomplished. It's not like, you know, he's sitting in a lounge chair at God's right hand. He's busy. He's head of the body. He's Lord. He's got a lot going on. See? But he ever lives to make intercession for us, those of us who belong to him. So, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, I'm gonna pray.